Welcome to the intersection of personal and professional development. This is Audio Motivation. Hi, everybody. This is Andy O'Brien for Audio Motivation. And today I'm excited to bring you Guy Finley. Guy is the acclaimed author of The Secret of Letting Go, The Essential Laws of Fearless Living, and 35 other major works that have sold over a million copies in 18 languages worldwide. Also, Guy has presented over 4,000 unique self-realization seminars to thousands of students throughout North America and Europe over the last 25 years. He's been a guest on over 400 TV and radio shows. He's a member of the faculty of the Omega Institute, daily contributor to BeliefNet, and I could just go on because I'm a huge fan of Guy Finley, and we have him here today. And Guy, we actually talked in an interview about 12 years ago, so welcome back finally after all this time.
You got to be kidding me. 12 years? Really?
Yeah, Audio Motivation was kind of in its first phase back in like 2004, 2005, and we had you on, and it was one of the best interviews we ever did. So I'm so excited to have you back.
Gosh, Andy, I know we've done it, we've spoken, but I didn't realize it was that long ago. We're in a new world by now.
I know, right? This was before social media and everything. So let's just jump in because I actually have in my office here the 16 CD set of Education of the Soul, and I also have The Turning Point, The Power of a Life Awakened, which is another multi-disc set. And so, you know, I've been a student of yours for a long time, and so it's really helped me personally. So what I want to do is kind of touch on some issues that I've been wondering about over the years, like finding your purpose, because even though it seems like it should be obvious, a lot of people struggle with that on a daily basis. And so I'm just wondering, is there some kind of secret to finding your purpose, or is it right in front of us and we just don't see it, or how does that work?
It's really a good question, because I think so many of us are feel like we have a very distinct purpose for being alive, and in many ways, because of circumstances seemingly beyond our control, we've been unable to answer that longing. And it is a longing, Andy, that we have. There isn't a creature on the planet that doesn't come into existence with a purpose sewn into its being, and we're the same. The issue for us is that our world is a lot more confusing than I'm looking out the window at a little tiny herd of deer that come up to get cob around this time. You know, they're not confused about their purpose. They know they're here for cob.
Right.
But you and I, that's another story. So let's start with this idea. And it's a little challenging, but I know your listeners are up to it.
Okay.
We are, if we're honest, each and every one filled with a certain kind of discontent. Even when we've succeeded in the world, being an entrepreneur, achieving some level of fame, you can see it everywhere. You don't have to be an Einstein, even if you haven't yourself won that kind of acclaim from your peers. Why is it that we see all of this incredibly self-destructive behavior on the part of individuals who seemingly have won the world? You know, seemingly their purpose is complete. But obviously it's not, because they're driven by a certain kind of discontent, a pain in their soul that pushes them into self-compromising behavior. So we have to look, Andy, not to something that we can so much affirm as how to fulfill our purpose, but turn instead to realize that there is something in us that still longs to be answered, and that until we are willing to meet that sense of discontentment, that sense of unanswered longing. All we can do is continue to try and complete ourselves, complete our purpose along the lines of the world that essentially gives us every day, tells us who we are, what to do, what our purpose is, and then we obey as best we can, only to find out that we didn't achieve anything of any lasting value. So with that in mind, Andy, the way in which we come to realize our purpose is by slowly but surely understanding that our present purposes, as long as we have this discontentment in our soul, cannot possibly be our real purpose. So that letting go turns out to be more the path to learning our true purpose than trying to acquire or achieve what our mind tells us will bring us to that. Does that make sense? Does that ring true, Andy?
Yeah. So what's kind of what's like the process of that? I mean, how do we start letting go? Does it involve, you know, coming to terms with self-sabotaging behavior and letting go of that? Or is it more like meditation, or what do you?
Well, you know what? It's all of those things. And I'm trying to think what would be the very best way to convey to your listeners some of the feeling that I know you're asking me to address. And I think maybe I'll tell a personal story.
Great.
I've never told it before, but it might give the listeners a way in which to relate to their present experience. Because look, every one of us knows that we have within us a certain kind of greatness. I don't care who you are, unless, God forbid, it was beaten out of you as a child by some terribly pained parent who didn't understand their own dissatisfaction in life and had to take it out on someone, or through a string of very unfortunate experiences that, rather than learning from, we took as being the proof of our inadequacy. Apart from those extreme conditions, we are, each and every one of us, sown into this world with a sense of ourself as being something that is just waiting to flower, that something is given to us to do and to be, and that if we could find out what is given to us to do and to be, then this sense of discontentment that haunts us would no longer hound us the way it does. So with that setting, let me tell you a story of my own. I don't know whether people know this or not, even those who are aware of my work. But back in the late 60s and early 70s, I was a part of a duo. We were the first white soft rock artists ever to sign with Motown Records. And
really?
It was, yeah, it was a dream come true. Believe me, we were signed to Jobette as composers. We were hanging out with, in those days, you know, the Temps and Jackson 5 and the Commodores, the highly successful black acts that Motown had brought to the forefront, Diana Ross, blah, blah, blah. But the best way I can tell it is that had seemed to be, for me, the solution to a sense of wanting to be special. I was born in a show business family. I had a certain amount of gifts that allowed me to get that far. And so on one hand, Andy, I fulfilled the purpose that I understood my purpose to be going into that set of relationships. I thought my purpose pretty much was to write, compose, record, and perform. And through that medium, to be able to express for me what sat at the core of all of those activities, which was always one and the same thing, which is I had a deep longing to know the truth of myself, to be in relationship with what, for whatever words one would use, is divine, timeless, true, wise. So that was the path. And Andy, I was successful. I had a home in Malibu. I had horses, a tennis court, you know. Yeah, I mean, the whole nine yards. That's the God's honest truth. But Andy, I couldn't shake the sense that as good as it was to be seen as an upcoming yada yada, it wasn't fulfilling my purpose. So try to understand, everybody, what I'm saying. Up until that point, my purpose was to achieve a certain modicum of success as best I understood it relative to whatever purpose had been put into me by my family, by my peers. You want to be a successful, purposeful human being? Be seen in the eyes of your peers as a creative genius, some kind of person to be envied. But when I got to that point, Andy, it was empty. Now, everybody, don't think, well, geez, if I could, you know, hang out with the Temps and Stevie Wonder and blah, 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 that my life would be complete. And maybe it would be, because maybe for you that would be the purpose of your existence. But the point is that we are developing creatures. We are not intended to be static in our development. Nothing about us is meant to come to a creative culmination by which we are defined for the rest of our life. That's actually hell, to set out to achieve, to become something, and manage to some manner to do that, and then be frightened for the rest of my life that something's going to take from me what I've won, or worse, feel like I'm a prisoner of the palace that I helped build.
Right.
So I'm talking about how we are given, each of us, according to our background, according to our culture, our environment, a feeling of, this is my purpose, to become a doctor, to be a fireman, to be a successful accountant, to be a successful housewife or husband. And that's all valid. But there isn't one of us that hasn't achieved in some scale that success. And in achieving that success, fulfilling the purpose as was given to us at the level of development when we set out. But now we are no longer as children. Now we want to be another kind of man, a higher order of woman, who has another purpose that we can't directly know any more than we set out to achieve what we did, but that sits inside of us as does a grain of sand in the oyster, a disturbance, an irritant that's telling us, okay, time to let go of what it is that fulfilled you to this point, and now let's find a deeper path to another kind of freedom that isn't as conditional as those that we have put ourselves into doing what we've done. Sorry, Andy, to go on so long-winded, but it's a big picture, and I want to present it.
Yes, this is great. I mean, this is something, you know, that I've been kind of wrestling with myself, and it's hard to know, you know, if you're on the right track, and then you encounter something that that makes you feel like you're not on the right track, and then, so how do you know, you know, if it's just that, like, pebble in your shoe that's on the while you're, you know, climbing the mountain, or if it's something like that should turn you completely around?
Well, it comes down to a kind of important distinction. It's a good question that we can look at together. Because all of us, one way or another, are, how do I say this to you? We are born to constantly be further perfected by the life we are born into. Our relationships, our business, the paths that we take, our avocations, the business, every last one of those things are intended to serve as a kind of mirror for us, in which at first, we're astounded to see, wow, I can't believe that I built that home, that I was responsible for these conditions that people are prospering through, or that just that I'm able to do something I was unable to do. I can speak a foreign language. I can build a cabinet by myself. All of these things, Andy, are mirrors in which we first look to discover an aspect of ourselves that we intuit needs to be developed, that we want to grow into. But at a certain point, when we have done the work to grow into that understanding and what it manifests, there comes a necessary and natural time when what we have grown into, it's time to grow out of.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because life itself, what is divine by nature, that ceaselessly seeks to perfect us through our relationships, is urging us to take the next step in developing our understanding, in outgrowing the things that we grew into and, by the way, have become attached to. So that's another whole avenue to discuss. In my own life, part of why I left the music business, retired, to go around the world to find answers to this unrequited love I had, was because instead of being liberated by the world that I had created through my love of music, I had become a slave to it. Now I had to keep up certain appearances. I had to be able to produce enough to maintain a lifestyle. So all the things that I thought were the path to fulfilling my purpose turned out in one way to be a prison, a gilded cage down the line. Now, at some point, you either recognize, good God, I'm in a gilded cage and not in this perfect life I envisioned, and so something has to change. And that's where the degree of our discontentment can become an ally to us, so that the revelation of my actual circumstance, that it no longer satisfies this longing that I have to be free. Because I won freedom as I imagined it, but the freedom I imagined turned out not to be real freedom because it was conditional. So as we grow in that understanding, our actions become, we have greater clarity. We understand, all right, so freedom that I won through being able to afford a certain lifestyle is now not the source of my freedom, but now I must serve it. So does that mean that my choice was bad? No. It just means that I have to look a little deeper, using my circumstances to change my understanding, instead of allowing an old understanding to continue to prove to me that being in prison is the best I can do.
Okay. So it takes some introspection there. I mean, because it's kind of a leap of faith, you know, because you're at this plateau and it feels pretty good, but you know that there's more, right?
Yeah, Andy, but you see, that's beautiful. It's not a leap of faith, man. Does it take a leap of faith to get out of a burning building?
No, it's not.
Does it take a leap of faith to finally realize, you know what, this drug, this alcohol, this thing I'm addicted to, it's killing me? Does that take a leap of faith?
No.
No. What it takes is honesty.
So this, it doesn't, it's not like it hits you in the head, though, you know, like a sledgehammer. I mean, it probably festers over time. You become more and more uncomfortable, right?
Well, of course. I mean, in one respect, how many people do you know that one day they're sitting down with their husband, their wife, with this brother, a kid, and the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back comes along, a simple thing, and that man, that woman, loses their temper to such an extent that they can see that they have hurt the one that they love. How many of us change on the spot the first time that we see those leopard spots? We don't. But we gradually come to recognize, here I am, I've built this life out for myself and those that I love. And instead of being able to enjoy the gifts of my labor, I have to labor and come home negative, drained, tired, and unable to be the loving human being that I want to be because I'm too busy trying to keep the conditions I imagine I need to be loving.
Okay. That makes sense when you put it like that.
Yes.
Okay. So let's pivot a little, because I want to talk a bit about meditation, because, and actually it's not even that much of a pivot, because a lot of these realizations can come out during meditation, right?
If we understand meditation in the proper sense of the word.
Because most people don't understand it or can't seem to find the time to do it because they don't see how powerful it is, right?
You know, that's right. I live in Southern Oregon, where I talk to a group of men and women three times a week. And just last week, I gave them this little bit of personal work to do to kind of solve what you and I are talking about. It fits now. If we want to know what's wrong with us, Andy, there's only one thing we have to do. If we want to know where it is that we're no longer fulfilling our purpose, there's only one thing we have to do in the moment when we suddenly feel prompted, pushed to achieve whatever we believe will bring us to the next level of our success. Here it is. All we have to do is get quiet. Be still. Meditation is a living relationship with the present moment. It's not an accomplishment. It's not an achievement. And there's no known outcome to it. Yes, meditation reduces stress, helps us be a little more creative because our energy isn't being squandered uselessly. But real meditation is as simple as being still in the moment of any moment where I can come back into my body and be aware of myself. And here's how it applies to what we've been talking about. I'm sitting at home and a certain sense of discontentment comes over me. Maybe I'm living beyond my means because I believe that's how I prove that I'm successful. And I'm sitting there looking at bills. I'm looking at my wife. She's worried. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because I've built something bigger than my capacity to maintain, blah, blah, blah. We know the drill. And if I could be still in that moment, here's what would happen. I would feel the pain that I'm in. Instead of letting the pain that I'm in prompt me to do something to protect the conditions that my nature has created. One avenue, I'm quiet and am conscious of being in a contradiction in my own nature. I can see that there's painful conflict present, and that my mind wants to explain to me why it's profitable to remain in that psychological state. My mind doesn't know anything other than what it's been conditioned to pursue as valuable. But my higher nature, Andy, that I'm in relationship with when I'm still, can see without taking thought that this anxiety, this fear, this pain, this worry, this doubt, it is not serving me, and I must cease to serve it. Then this discontentment turns into a path of another kind of consciousness that will not contradict itself or hurt itself in the pursuit of something that I'm told will deliver me to some imagined heaven.
Wow. So actually, that answered my next question, because I was going to ask you about letting go of like past mistakes, regrets, guilt, failures. Yep. I mean, that really is the secret to doing that, right?
Yeah, very good. Absolutely, Andy. Look, here I am. I'm sitting at home, and suddenly I start to feel a certain anxiety. I've got to do a little more of this. I've got to get a little more of that. And I'm not aware of the fact that the moment before, my own mind went back in time, literally, and revisited a place, a relationship where somebody said I wasn't worth anything. I was called stupid. I remember wearing pants that didn't break at my shoe where my peers did, something like that. And suddenly I'm being directed to go and try to accomplish something to bring an end to a pain from my past that wouldn't be a problem to me if I weren't tempted to revisit it by a nature that wants to feel the way it does, so that then it can plan a future that doesn't turn out to be freedom, but rather another level of a prison that I don't see I'm involved in building.
So, yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're your subconscious or something is playing against itself. You know, there's like a battle going on.
That's exactly right, Andy. But we don't have that understanding. It's not part of our training in our schools, and certainly not in our entrepreneurial work. There's nothing that comes along and says, you know what, listen, Andy, you are given gifts, man. That longing that you have to build out a company, the vision that you have, the things you imagine that maybe you want to invent, all of those things, those are gifts that you're given because you are endowed as a human being to create for yourself what you imagine will fulfill you. That's a fact. But we're not told that that nature is a lower nature relative to the fact that before we are given the capacity to be a creator, we are ourselves a creation. And that as part of a greater creation with the capacity to create in scale, we have a responsibility to that larger life that put in us to begin with the feeling of having a purpose, of knowing a greatness that awaits us. So until we can honor that higher relationship, which we do by being still, understanding the purpose of a moment is not to prove ourselves, but to discover the higher aspect of our nature, we're going to serve that lower nature that cannot be satisfied. It cannot bring an end to itself, because in order to feel like itself, it has to have a problem. It has to have something to solve. But our higher nature can see that lower nature. And it recognizes when that lower nature is misleading us, delivering false promises, deceiving us, and can effortlessly, relatively speaking, drop that sense of self when it appears from that nature.
So we just need to tap into that more, right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Because if we can do that, Andy, then when the highs and inevitable lows come along through our efforts to develop whatever we envision as being the fulfillment of ourselves, then the high and the low is not something that gives us a sense of exaltation, nor does it drop us into a depression. We see it as an aspect of our path. We see it as part of a way in which to know, instead of ourselves through passing conditions, through a consciousness that recognizes everything's going to pass, and we're supposed to let it so that we can find and know our true purpose, which is the realization of a timeless nature that isn't afraid of anything because it's greater than anything that passes through it.
Hmm. Oh, man. Guy, I could talk to you all day. This is, I feel so much, you know, so much relaxation just listening to you talk about these things. This is, you must really, like, you still do the talks in the woods?
Oh, yes. We, like I say, we have men and women from all over the world who either moved up here to Southern Oregon or they visit on a regular basis. And we have regular talks. And then twice a year, talks in the pines during
pines,
the summer,
yes.
Solstice.
Okay.
Yeah, talks to the pines in the middle of June, and then every December around the 15th, a holiday banquet where we have men and women come in. There's a series of talks, candlelight concert by our choir, and an entertainment, a delicious homemade banquet. So, yeah, we gather to do just what you said, by the way. The reason that it feels like a relaxation, like something that like good food when we talk like this, Andy, is because the part of us that already knows our higher purpose is being nourished by these ideas. They live in you just as they live in me. We are born with the possibility of being in a conscious relationship with that which has given us our purpose. And the deeper we can fulfill that relationship with that higher part that knows our true purpose, then the more effortless it becomes to let go of what no longer satisfies that purpose. And in the very action of letting go of what doesn't work anymore, entering into a relationship with what does work for the next stage of our life.
Makes perfect sense, you know. I mean, it's all, it's just so natural of a way of thinking.
And, I love that. Love that you see that and feel that, Andy, because that's exactly how it's supposed to feel. And look, I know we're not. None of us. We are. We are not the separate self that we take ourselves to be. My consciousness is your consciousness. Your consciousness is the same as the listener's consciousness. It's just that each of us express that consciousness through a different set of circumstances. We instrument it differently, but at the bottom of things and at the top of things, we share that nature. And the more we discover that, the more we are less likely to resist the things that reveal the lower consciousness, this mechanical nature. And at the same time, the less likely we are to take credit for the good things that we do and that happen to us. Christ himself said, "Woman, why do you call me good? No one's good save the Father." So we understand that, then we stay out of the trap of identifying with what we create or with what we see in ourselves. And if we can stay out of identifying with these things, then we can't be a prisoner of the conditions we're identified with.
Okay, so it's just a question of, it probably takes practice, right?
You know, there's an old Native Indian story. The young lady goes to her grandfather, who is the chief, and she says to him, "Grandfather, I'm very troubled. What's wrong?" And she says, I've recently realized that in me there's this good wolf, but there's a bad wolf too. And they're in a fight all the time. And I'm afraid I don't know which one of these wolves is going to win the battle." And do you know what the grandfather says to his granddaughter?
What?
"The one that you feed is the one that will win."
Ah, love that.
Right? So there is, of course, practice. What we exercise grows. What we ignore deteriorates, yep. Diminishes. So our work is to, at the very least, have a wish to understand the real purpose of our life instead of constantly trying to prove through our pain that our stress and anxiety proves that I know what I'm doing. No, the more negative we are, it doesn't prove that we're on top of things. It proves that we're rather at the bottom of things, not understanding our actual relationship with life. So our dissatisfaction can deliver for us gradual insights to set us above the nature that we have been serving up to that point.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. And I think, like I said before, I mean, we could talk all day, but I think you've really changed some lives. The people listening to this now are probably starting to see ways that they can, you know, see within themselves a little differently and start on a path that is right for them. So I really appreciate you doing this.
I'm happy to talk, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. And so another thing I love about you, Guy, is the fact that you are so generous with your wisdom, because you have a content library on guyfinley.org that is just mind-blowing. I mean, it's just so much stuff in there that is just incredible. And yeah. And it goes back like 15, 20 years even.
Yeah, there's literally thousands and thousands of hours of free recorded materials, writing, so forth and so on. My foundation is a nonprofit organization, and my staff always tries to say, "Look, you know, they're giving away too much, or giving away too much." But I was given what I have freely, and I think there's a law, and I think the law is that when you have something that you love, that the more you give away what you love, the more love you get from what gave it to you to begin with. So I've always held the line. Does it cost us stuff? Sure it does. But the bottom line is that if a man or a woman wants to begin to understand their life in a new light, to become a better human being, to be a better lover, better father, better mother, better employer, better employee. There's only one way that's going to happen, Andy, and that's when we as individuals begin to recognize that the conflict that we experience in our life is not intended to hold us captive where we struggle to change people and conditions. It's intended to shed light on a part of us that has outlived its time. It's no longer serves us. And the more clearly we see that, the more willing we are to die to that part of ourselves, to give it up. And the more we give up what doesn't work for us, the better we work with everyone else around us and in all circumstances. So that's why I steal much from material. I'm happy to do it.
Well, you must be getting a lot of love back, because there's a lot of wisdom going out, and we really need it in this day and age. And, you know, there's a lot of bitterness online and you know, division. And it's just nice to go here as kind of an oasis, you know.
It is indeed.
Guy Finley, thanks so much. I just can't thank you enough for doing this and for taking time out to talk with us today. I really appreciate it.
I'm very happy to do it, and I know that are they going to learn about the 7 Steps to Oneness, the album that we want to give away?
Is that, please tell us about that.
Well, I only know as much as my staff told me, but I know that because of our friendship, that the foundation is offering an MP3 album for free.
Oh,
called 7 Steps to Oneness. And if a person, I don't know if they can get it through a link at your site, but I can give the URL, or you can give it when you put the material up. You tell me which is better.
I will put it right in the description on the podcast so people can access it. So let's do that. And thank you. That's wonderful. I didn't even realize that. So that's even more.
in your notes with Eric, who helped us get, you know, hook up here, it's got the URL there, and I'm glad to do it. And not only glad, I encourage individuals. Andy said it really quite succinctly: practice. We can acknowledge all of these ideas are good or true, that maybe at least we feel something's right about them. But if we don't act on that knowledge, it's useless. And we have to understand there are parts of us that do not want to act on this knowledge, because it's going to mean that we're going to have to see where parts of us are clinging to what no longer serves us and let it go. So it's our choice, but the choice becomes given if we'll act on the knowledge we've received.
One truth I've always discovered is that positive action always brings about positive rewards. I've never seen it fail.
Positive action will always produce experience of some kind. We may learn that what we thought was a positive action wasn't so positive, but we won't know it if we don't enact. What we enact, we learn about. What we learn about is what changes us.
Beautiful. Thanks, Guy. Appreciate it.
You bet, Andy. You be good. Let's not wait 12 years.
Yeah, right.
I may not be here.
Thanks for listening to Audio Motivation. Join us in our membership community for even more in-depth interviews, transcripts, and bonus gifts, all designed to keep you motivated and inspired.